You're listening to Stories of Change on 99.1. Think about it. How often do you find yourself standing at a crossroad of choice, pondering which path to take? How many times have you encountered challenges that required you to put your thinking cap on and perhaps devise some creative solutions? These moments are the threads that weave through the fabric of our lives and are so connected to this topic of resilience. And have you ever wondered how some people just effortlessly tackle complex problems and they stay calm, cool and collected, while others struggle with even small decisions? Well, my friends, it's about honing the art of effective problem solving and decision making, which are two skills that aren't just practical, but they're also instrumental in fostering resilience. And that's what I'm going to be focusing in on today. We're going to be talking about the skills of decision making, the skills of problem solving. And I love the fact that problem solving is a very, very creative endeavor, because I do like the creative aspects of life. So before we dive in, I want to ask you some questions just to get you in the mood. So how do you approach challenges? Have you ever felt a little bit daunted by a challenge that you're facing, or do you see it as an opportunity to showcase your resilience? However you answer this question might reveal more about your problem-solving mindset than you think. And throughout this episode, I invite you to ponder your approach to challenges and decisions. Are there areas where you could enhance your problem-solving techniques? Or could your decision-making process use a little fine-tuning? So we're going to get right into the heart of problem solving and decision making today and unravel some of these mysteries behind the skills. I've got a friend who does a particular program which is all about decision making, and she really likes to push people to make some really interesting decisions in the spur of the moment and really get them out of their comfort zone. So there is a lot to explore, from, you know, some minor decisions maybe all the way up to some groundbreaking decisions like that you might be forced to make just to extend yourself and get some personal growth and learning in there, which is what my show is all about. So stay tuned as we explore this connection between problem solving and resilience, and let's get stuck into some strategies as well and leave you with some tips that you can employ immediately today. But before we get stuck into that, I'm going to play another song. This one's Linkin Park, Breaking the Habit. Breaking habits. Ooh, that's an interesting one, isn't it? So one of the things that I love to talk about is the stages of change. And there are six stages of change. And if you skip any of the steps, you can actually make the change a lot harder and take a lot longer. So if you want to do change quickly, efficiently, effectively, you want to do it with less fuss and with more resilience, you like to follow a bit of a process. And today I'm going to be focusing on problem solving and decision making, because it's a really important skill set to develop when you're in the second stage of change. So the first stage of change is called pre-contemplation, and the second stage is called contemplation. So in pre-contemplation, that can be where you're actually avoiding a change or denying that you need to change, or even completely oblivious that a change would be beneficial for you. So that's where you're in pre-contemplation. You're not even anywhere near ready to start to make a change or to work on the change. And the idea is we want to move from pre-contemplation into contemplation, and that's the second stage. And in contemplation, that's where we start to delve into this type of skill set, where we want to look at, well, what are the decisions ahead of us that we need to make? What are the problems that might be good for us to solve? And we're just kind of contemplating what type of change we might like to make, when we might like to make it, how we might like to make it, and we're kind of weighing up the pros and cons and all sorts of things that I'm going to get into today's episode. So this is where problem solving and decision making fit into that entire process of the stages of change. So if you've missed any of that prior learning, you can review it, on the yarravalleyfm.org.au website. So my previous episodes are on the podcast, and the first season I delved into basically the structure of change and how we actually change as a process. And if you missed that, you can review that there and learn more about the stages of change and perhaps pick out where you're at, because that makes it much, much easier for yourself. But today I want to also build this connection between problem solving and the art of building resilience, and particularly personal resilience. So imagine for a moment you're out in the wilderness, you're navigating through a dense forest, and you encounter an obstacle, a huge fallen tree, and it's blocking your path. This actually happened to my son and I. We were walking through the history of the walk through history. It's out near Warburton. There's a beautiful track. It's a 4-day walk, and we just can hike and camp along in the campgrounds there. And anyway, we had been hiking for a couple of days, and we came across this humongous tree. It was like a full tree that had just completely fallen on the actual track itself, and we were sort of standing there scratching our heads thinking, oh, what are we going to do? Because it was a long way back, and we thought, okay, well, we're going to climb this tree all the way. And it was literally like climbing a tree, like a really huge tree, but it was laying down, so we still had to kind of pick our way through the branches and along the way. And quite interesting. It didn't stop us. And I'm glad, because we went on to camp at the next spot, and we had summoned problem-solving skills. We had analysed that situation, and we found a way to get through. And I actually did contact the parks people after we got to the other side, because I had some friends there, and said, there's a huge tree down there. And they hiked in there and actually removed it for the benefit of all of us hikers, which was wonderful. So resilience isn't just about weathering the storms that life throws at us. It's also about channeling that inner problem-solving skill to find creative solutions, and it could be in the face of some kind of adversity. Obviously, the tree falling down wasn't true. We weren't in any danger. But, you know, it was something that we had to overcome. So building resilience requires us to be adaptable and resourceful and open to perhaps a new approach in that sort of context. And guess what? These are precisely the qualities that effective problem solving nurtures within us. So this is why doing problem solving in a very conscious way and a very intentional way can really help you to level up your conscious awareness of your own skillfulness in this regard. This should sort of shine a light on the skill set that you've already got. So problem solving and resilience do go together. They very much go hand in hand. And think about just day-to-day life. How many times have you faced unexpected hiccups and in the heat of the moment found yourself devising some kind of quick solution to keep things going? So this again is, it's a very organic and natural process. And even in those small moments, like finding an alternate route, like, you know, it might be when you're driving in traffic, for example, or adapting a recipe when you're in the kitchen when you find out that an ingredient is missing. These are all examples of resilience in action. So it doesn't always have to be a humongous thing. Sometimes it's just these small little things that where we demonstrate our own problem-solving skills. And it is the backbone of resilience and the fuel that can help us when we do face more difficult challenges. So hopefully you're on board with me today to embrace this inner problem solver of yourself, and we're going to recognize that every challenge is really just an invitation to showcase your creativity and your adaptability, and focus your determination that you can thrive despite any odds or anything that is coming against you. After all, as we've talked about in previous episodes, resilience is not about avoiding difficulties. It's about confronting them head on, armed with the tools of effective problem solving, and emerging on the other side stronger, wiser, and unbreakable. So stay with me as we journey into this topic today, and I start to talk about some of the strategies. And on the on this idea of problem solving and decision making, and I thought I'd play this song. I really like this one. This is by U2, Stuck in a Moment. I like the idea behind this song because it really is about what we're talking about. Sometimes we just feel a little bit stuck. You know, we've got to make a decision. Which way are we going to go? So enjoy this one and listen to the lyrics. What a great song that was, Resilient by Rising Alopecia. I hope you like that one. Okay, we've been talking about resilience, so I thought that was a perfect song, Resilient. How much did you like that? If you do like any of the music that I'm playing on my show, you can catch them. I've got them organized in a playlist on Spotify, and they do have a free version of that. So if you would like to listen to any of these songs again, check that out. My name's Kim Harris. You'll be able to find my playlist there. We are talking about strategies for informed decision-making in this segment. So we're venturing into this realm of informed decision-making, and it's like a guiding star on the path of resilience. Decisions, both big and small, do shape the course of our lives, and mastering the art of making informed choices can really set us up for success. So if, again, you're standing at any kind of crossroads and you're faced with a decision that could impact your future, you can feel the weight of that choice sometimes bearing down on you. And we've all been there, and we sometimes do ponder, which path do we take? Which door do we open? And decision-making isn't about relying necessarily just on chance or intuition, although some people do practice intuitive decision-making, which is a definite type of decision-making. But it's also about equipping ourselves with the tools to navigate all of the choices that we do have with a bit more clarity, confidence, and resilience. So how do you approach problem solving? Are you generally able to find practical solutions to your challenges? Have you faced any situations where you felt stuck or unable to find a solution? I've had an ongoing dilemma with my car, for example. It's something that no matter what problem I've tried to solve, it just seems to be never really solving the overall problem. And I feel quite stuck, you know, even though we've tried many, many things. So decision-making processes can vary based on the situation, the complexity of the change, and the goals that you're actually trying to achieve as a result of making the decision. So there are lots of different types of decision-making processes that you can actually look into. I obviously have studied this quite in depth, and there's your basic kind of SWOT analysis is an example of a decision-making process. That's where you're measuring the strengths and the weaknesses and the opportunities and the threats of a subject matter at hand. There's also the Six Hats Method, which was, I think it was by, oh, I can't think of his first name, but Bono was the author of that book, and he suggested wearing these different coloured hats, which denoted a different type of thinking to bring to the situation at hand. Really interesting ideas there. One of the hats that you can wear actually is called the black hat, and that's the real critical, like negative point of view of a situation, which I actually found really intriguing, because when I've worked in problem solving situations where there's been a number of people that are invested, I suppose, in the outcome of something, and we're all contributing to that problem solving or decision making process, we've really relied on particular people have more of a critical point of view, and we rely on those black hat people sometimes to give us those opportunities and threats that we're perhaps not seeing. So yeah, really interesting book, that one on the Six Hats. There's also kind of a method where you do the pluses, the minuses, and the interest. And I think I really do like this one, because it's pluses, so all the fours, all the against, that's pretty standard, I suppose, in a decision, in a good decision-making process. But the fact that it's got the interests on there is a way of reflecting on the thing that you're embarking on, the change that you're embarking on, the decision or the problem that you're trying to solve, and thinking about what's interesting about this problem. You know, what's interesting about this decision I've got to make? Where is there, and you can sort of come at it with a real sense of curiosity and start to think about other things, like what could you possibly learn or potentially learn? Or just, it just helps you to see things that are sometimes outside of the box of normal, yeah, just looking at pros and cons. So I really like that method, PMI, the PMI method. And then there's really mathematical ones. There's like the Cartesian coordinates. That's an example of a decision-making process, or Pareto's principle, which is an 80-20 kind of principle. But those ones start to get a little bit more complicated, which can be useful if it's, as I said, depending on the situation and the complexity of the decision that you need to make, sometimes we need to employ methods like the Cartesian coordinates. It just depends on what we're doing. So while we can have different decision-making methods, and they have specific steps and approaches, all of these types of different methods, there are common principles and personal skills that underlie effective decision making. And I thought I'd talk about some of those common principles and personal skills to be good at making decisions. But before I do that, I'm going to play an older song. So this one's, I think, the quintessential song for decision making. It's actually by The Clash, and it's called Should I Stay or Should I Go? And it came out in the early 80s, this song. And basically, the guy who's singing is in a bit of a quandary. He's wondering if his love information, his love interest, he's wondering where he stands in the relationship, and she's giving him mixed message, and he knows there's a choice that he needs to make, and he's asking the question, should I stay or should I go? So enjoy this oldie. It's a good one. You are listening to Stories of Change. My name is Kim Harris, and you're on 99.1 Yarra Valley FM. We've been talking about decision making, and that's why I played that last song, The Clash, Should I Stay or Should I Go? And I thought I'd share a few of the principles of decision making, because whilst there are lots of different processes we can use to help us and guide us through a decision making process, there's some common elements and some common principles that good decision making is built on. So the first one is clarity of purpose. So when you've clearly defined the problem, goal, or the decision that needs to make, having that clear understanding of what you're trying to achieve is essential for effective decision making. And this is something that, as you go through and you're trying to solve the problem and trying to solve the problem, and you're reiterating and having another go and having another go, what sometimes happens in that process is you actually realize sometimes you're trying to solve a problem that you don't have or trying to solve the wrong problem. So clearly defining that problem and actually getting to down to the real clear sort of idea of, well, this is the actual problem I need to solve, is really, really a really important thing and a great principle to think about. And sometimes you don't get it right on the first go, so that's okay. And this is why one of the tips I'm going to give you later on, and one of the strategies, is all about this. We want to really work at clarifying what the actual problem is to begin with, because that sets us up for success in the long run. So that's the first common principle. We've also got information gathering is a good one too. So that's the second one. We want to collect relevant and accurate information that is related to the decision, and it can include facts and figures and expert opinions and other sources of information, and all of those things start to inform the choices that you have before you. And this is a very important part of the preparation phase of change. Remember, I was talking about the six stages of change. Well, the third one is the preparation stage. And when we go through this stage really well, when we prepare ourselves really well, we do a lot of information gathering. And the reason that's important is because it actually gives us more than just motivation then to go on. When we're informed and we know why we're doing things, it gives us a lot more motives to take action. And so because motivation is not infinite, it's finite, and we only have a certain amount of motivation every day. So, and in the same way, we only have a certain amount of decisions we can make every day, interestingly, the research is showing us. So we need to find ways of avoiding decision fatigue, they call it, and we also want to find ways of resetting our motivation each day. And information gathering is a really good way to start to give us the type of grounding and preparation that actually helps us to feel both motivated and make effective decisions. So that's the second one. The third one is consideration of the options. So it's one thing to then collect all this relevant and accurate data, but then what do you do with it? Well, you want to have a way of identifying and evaluating out of that information what alternatives and options are actually available to you. You don't want to rush into decisions necessarily. We want to take the time to explore some different pathways. And yeah, so we need to develop that skill of weighing up the pros and cons and considering all the options that are available. And of course, that takes the next principle, which is a balanced perspective. So what we're striving for is that balanced view of both the positives and the negative aspects of each option. That's why I really like that PMI method. It's the pluses, the minuses, and also the interesting things about this decision that you're making, because because it helps to prevent bias and it ensures you're making an informed choice and not just leaning on by the time you've got some information and you're considering the options and you're looking for this balanced perspective, you're actually really thinking through the choice that's before you. Most of the methods also have a common principle of this trade-off analysis. So that's where you're recognizing that decisions often involve some sort of trade-off, and there might be positives and minuses for anything, you know, and it's evaluating the potential benefits against the associated costs, or the as the SWOT analysis does, the strengths against the weaknesses, or the opportunities against the threats. So there's this kind of trade-off where we want to recognize what we're actually trading off against. So that's another common principle of all decision making. Another one is alignment with values. Now, I think this one's a really good one for, it's kind of like the gut check. So if there's something that you know that is really valuable to you, so values to me are a valued attribute. A value is something that is important, and often the things we value are traits that we are known for. So if you're a really loving person, for example, you might really value love and connection and togetherness, for example, and that might be a value. And we can use these types of personal values, these types of attributes that are important to us, as a guide to check off with the information we've found and the consideration that we're doing, and having that balanced perspective, looking at the trade-offs. We're actually that final one of those final checks is to kind of check in with what's actually important to you. What are your values? What are your principles? What are your morals? What are the long-term goals as well? So where are you going ultimately as a human being? And how does this decision that you've got to make affirm where you want to go? So decisions that are in line with your values tend to lead to an overall greater level of satisfaction with the decision that you make ultimately. So a good gut check, that one. A really good, important principle of decision making. The next one is flexibility and adaptability. So this is where we're open to adapting our decision as circumstances change. And flexibility is crucial, especially when we're dealing with dynamic situations. And I think this is really interesting because it's this idea of, even though I'm talking in quite a structured way, you're going through a process where there's a pathway or steps to follow. It's really important within that structure to always maintain a level of flexibility. And I've got a great interview coming up. It'll either be my next show or the one after, with a gentleman who really, really had to become very flexible and very adaptable because of where he ended up in a situation in his life. And that's going to be a fantastic interview. I'm really looking forward to presenting for you guys. And it'll be particularly on this type of part of a decision-making process. So it's that flexibility and adaptability. He's got a great story to share there. So look forward to that one. But it is, yeah, because of his openness, obviously, to face up to the situation that he found himself in and enabled him to get through a circumstance that was very difficult. So the final one that I'm going to touch on is accountability. And so this is where we take responsibility for the decision and the outcome, no matter what happens. And this fosters a sense of ownership and a willingness to learn from both successes and failures. So in my car example, I've taken accountability. I need to have transportation. And it's my job to kind of resolve this. And I've failed so far to get the car fixed, even though I've been exploring lots of options and I've taken it to mechanics and we've put it on the machine and we're trying one thing after another. So really, I've got to learn from that. I've got to learn from the decisions I'm making and the outcome that I'm getting, and get the best with all of these principles, looking back at, okay, well, getting the information, considering my options, am I looking at this in a balanced way? What's the trade-off? Type of lifestyle do I want to live? So how is a car factor into who I am and how I want to live my life? Am I being flexible and adaptable to what's actually happening as the circumstances keep changing? And what was the purpose to begin with of even having a car? Like, what is my vision for myself as a car owner? I know it sounds kind of strange, but when you think of something simple like that, but it is, you can see that there is these common principles of decision making in day-to-day life and things that we are experiencing. So With that, I'm going to break now for the news and come back on the other side with some good songs and share some further principles and some personal skills regarding effective decision making. So I'll join you on the other side of the news. You're listening to 99.1 Yarra Valley FM, Stories of Change with Kim Harris. And welcome back to the show. We've been talking about resilience and we're talking about change and we're talking about effective decision making and how that relates to both change and resilience. So we were talking just about some of the common principles of making an informed decision. I want to talk about some of the personal skills that are helpful when you need to make some effective decisions. So the first one is to think about is critical thinking. So critical thinking is the ability to analyze, evaluate, and assess information objectively. And this is definitely fundamental. So critical thinking involves looking beyond the surface level of something and going into that deeper level of understanding and of the implications of the choices. So critical thinking is a great skill to develop when you are making decisions. The second one is problem solving. So we've obviously been touching on the idea of problem solving and using different problem solving techniques, and effective decision makers are adept problem solvers and they can identify the root causes of issues and generate lots of solutions and anticipate any potential challenges. So yeah, root cause analysis is something that we often use in a kind of mechanical world, but it also helps us in a day-to-day way as well. And of course, a personal skill that's required to do either of those two things is to have self-awareness. So that's understanding your own strengths and your own weaknesses, your own biases and your own preferences. And we want to have that and cultivate that level of self-awareness that helps us to make decisions that actually align with who we are and where we want to go and all of those personal characteristics, and having that sense of self being more fully understood by ourselves and the way that we engage with other people as well. And of course, that takes another personal skill into consideration, which is emotional intelligence. So this is a fairly new thing. I've been talking about probably the last 10, 20 years. Emotional intelligence is all about being in tune with your emotions and the emotions of others, and helps you to make decisions that consider the logical but also the emotional aspects. And our last episode of the show, I went into great depth around the subject of emotional regulation, because that sort of fits in with your ability to be intelligent emotionally when we can regulate our emotions and pay attention to them and take that information from our emotion. It can be a different type of intelligence to inform our decision-making process. So that's really good too. Another personal skill, which some people have they seem to be masterful at this more so than others, is time management. So good decision makers know how to balance thorough analysis with timely action. So they're able to make those decisions efficiently without succumbing to analysis paralysis and getting stuck or wasting time unnecessarily. Yeah, something to consider is the timeliness of any goal or problem or decision that you need to make. Sometimes we have a definite deadline. We need to make a decision by a certain point in time. Sometimes we don't. But either way, we don't want to waste any time either. So we want to get to it. And time management will always be a factor and a personal skill to develop in yourself. Another skill to develop is risk assessment. So that's the ability to assess and manage any kinds of risks that are associated with different options that might be available to you. So being able to weigh potential consequences and the potential benefits helps you to make those informed choices. And interestingly, we've talked about the neuroscience behind this, and the part of the brain that does risk assessment is the prefrontal cortex, which is in your forehead, the last part of the brain that actually develops. And takes a long time for this part of the brain to actually fully develop. It's they believe it's like 20 to 25 years old, and this is why risk assessment is particularly difficult for children, because they actually don't have that part of the brain yet. So next time you're talking to your grandkids or your own children, just bear that in mind, that they can't actually manage risk in the same way that you do as a grown up and as an adult. So Something else to think about. Communication skills also is important, particularly if you've got kids or grandkids. Communication skills is also important in effective decision making, especially if you need to collaborate and communicate with others about a decision that you're making or about a choice that you're making. And being able to articulate your decisions and rationale to others is really important. Communication is just such a important skill across the board with life, particularly with relationships of all sorts. And I could do a show just on probably a whole series just on communication itself. So very, very important part of effective decision making for sure. The next one, obviously, we're talking about resilience, and this is why we're talking about it. So personal resilience is something that you might also need to help you in the process of making a decision, because sometimes the which way to go and the decision that we need to make or the choice we need to make is not free of uncertainty or ambiguity. So resilient individuals are able to, they're more likely to adapt to unexpected outcomes and setbacks and to learn from those experiences. So resilience is a definite skill to learn about, and that's the purpose of this particular series I'm doing at the moment. All of this, of course, means we need to remain open-minded. So this is where we're being receptive to new ideas, and we're receptive to feedback, we're receptive to alternative perspectives, and it can enhance your decision-making capability as well. It's a very interesting, I'm actually running my own little personal experiment on being open-minded, and it's really been challenging me. It's just a little personal project I'm doing where I'm trying to agree with everybody on everything all of the time. And it's interesting how quickly we can dismiss or judge or discard other people's perspectives. So yeah, I should probably share a little bit more about that experiment, because it's been very, very enlightening, and it's been very tricky at times to do it. So open-mindedness, we've all got some room there to open our minds a little bit more, I think, to the opinions of others. Another personal skill to develop is obviously just your personal skillfulness around decision-making techniques. So I've talked about various methods, and familiarity with those various decision-making methods can really help you. And one will appeal to you more than others, and that's okay. It's more about just having a bit of a guide, a way to think through the process that equips you, or you can use it as a tool to approach a decision-making endeavor really systematically. And that helps you to do it faster, quicker, and feel more confident with the decisions that you're making. So a personal skill is learning about some of these techniques, and that is the purpose of my show, to give you a little bit of education around some of these ideas. We're going to get into some practical steps that you can take perhaps today to start to get your own decision making and cultivate some of these skill sets that I've been talking about, both personally and also just some of the actual principles. So putting some of these principles to work for you in your decision-making process. But before we do that, I'm going to play another song. It's been a while since I've played a song, hasn't it? You don't want to hear me talking all day long. So this is another good song. This is called Now I'm In It. And the reason I picked this song is because it's pretty much what it can feel like. It's like when we've got a decision to make, when we've got a choice to make, we can feel like we're really in it. we've got to come up with the goods and come through with a decision, a firm decision or a commitment. So enjoy. Welcome back. This is Stories of Change with Kim Harris, and we are talking about decision making and some of the ideas around decision making and how to do this effectively. And we're just going to break it down now into three simple steps, really simple steps, practical steps that you can take if you've got a decision before you or a choice to make. And the first one's very simple: break down complex problems. So this first step involves dissecting complex challenges into smaller bite-sized tasks. Now, we've all heard of that concept of how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time. But I like to think about, I think it was in a Guinness Book of World Records, there was a gentleman who ate all kinds of things, including a Boeing jet or something like that, or like a big jet and similar sort of thing. He just broke it down into really small pieces so he could eat it, which is just bizarre. And he he's eaten bicycles and all sorts of weird things, but a bit of a bizarre challenge to give yourself. But there you go. People are out there in the world doing all sorts of creative, strange things. By doing so, when we break things down, we actually take something that could be quite overwhelming and we turn it into something that's a series of achievable goals. And one of the things I like about, there is a goal setting acronym called a SMART goal, S-M-A-R-T, which is an acronym for specific, measurable, assignable, realistic, and time-bound or timely. And I really like the idea of realistic goals in that way, that we want to break down something so much that the step is, it's close in proximity, which means it might be a little bit of a stretch, but we can do it. We can do it in the time that we've got available. We can do it in the resources that we've got available. It's going to stretch us because we might get out of our comfort zone just a little bit, but it's not too far away and it's not too outside of proximity. So it's close to us. It's close to achieving. I really like that idea. So when you're thinking about a goal or a choice that you're making, it can really help to assess how much time do I think this is going to take, or how close is it to the point where I need to make a decision on this or a final choice on this? And so we can start to look at how realistic can, and are there any other steps along the way that we could, or we can make a decision to get started, and we're going to do this one small thing. And I really like that idea too, when we're thinking about goals and we're thinking about decisions and we're thinking about problems, it's sort of thinking, do we need to make a start on this goal? Like, is there something small because it is complex or longer, it's going to take a longer period of time? How do I get started? That might be where you're at. Or it might be, you might be, have already started, like I've already started trying to fix my car and it's like one thing after another, but it's like I've started and I want to see it through, and am I close to finishing? Not sure. We're going to try another part and replace another part, and hopefully that will be the finish of this dilemma with my car. But we've had to break it down, and that's what you can do too. So when you have those steps out, then you can start to prioritize them based on their importance and the urgency. So important and urgent is another really good, it's like a useful tool. It's called the Eisenhower matrix, and it's basically you draw on a piece of paper, you've got four, divide the paper into four sections, and you've got your important things and your urgent things separated out. If you haven't seen that before, it can be a really good way to start to think through and prioritize anything, any tasks that might be associated with you making a choice or a decision. Allows you then to focus your energy where it matters the most, because one of the important things is to work on the important things. So important and urgent usually comes first, and then we want important but not urgent are the next things we want to work on, and then we want to try and put off the urgent things the more little fires that break out each day. We want to try and delegate them or put them off or avoid them altogether, depending on if they really have no importance. Anyway, so if you haven't heard of the Eisenhower matrix, that's another really important prioritizing tool. So that's the first thing, break down complex problems, not too hard. The second step to making a decision is seek counsel. So they say two heads are better than one, and when it comes to decision making, that couldn't be truer. Don't hesitate, obviously, to seek advice and get input from trusted friends or mentors or colleagues or professionals. Gaining different perspectives can shed light on any blind spots you might have, and they can also offer their own experience or insight and on something that you might have missed. So seeking counsel is really good. The third step is to learn and adapt. So this is a pretty big one, so I'm going to talk about this one a little bit more, but I want to play a song first just to break up all this talking. So the three basic practical steps that you can employ in decision making, I'll just review those again. The first one is break down complex problems into smaller ones. The second step is to seek counsel if you're not sure, if you would like some input or insight from somebody else, and making sure that you are having a balanced approach to the problem. And then the final step is to learn and adapt. So you might not solve a problem the first time. As I have found with my car, I have not solved it the first time. But each time I'm learning and I'm adapting, and so is my mechanic. So I'm going to unpack that a little bit more, the learning and adapting one, because there are some significant traps that we can face when we're making decisions. And I want to go into some of those problems that people have, because they're very common, and that we have these common difficulties that we can experience when we're making decisions. So I'm going to get into that a little bit more, just so that you've got some extra strategies in case some of those difficulties crop up for you. But the whole idea is we want to win. We want to win. We want to get to the finish line. We want to get to that point where we've solved the problem, where we've made the decision, where we've followed it through, and we have achieved the outcome that we were seeking. So on that note, I'm going to play this song by the Bee Gees, which is You Win Again. And I hope that you win every time you make a decision. Enjoy this one. We've been talking about decision making, and I gave you three easy steps to take when making a decision. First one was break down complex problems. Second one was to seek counsel if you need it. And the third one was to learn and adapt through the process. And the reason this is a really important one is because, I don't know about you, but sometimes when we feel a little bit anxious, so this is usually the first indicator that we are having some trouble making a decision, or when we've got too many choices and we don't know which path to take, it will be common. It's a really normal feeling to feel a little bit of anxiety come up. So trust your feelings. And when you notice that you're feeling a bit anxious, it's usually because you've got more than one choice available to you. So sometimes we need to cull back our choices. So these principles that I'm sharing and these skill sets that I'm sharing actually help you to cull back the list a little bit and make it a little bit more crystal clear which path to take. So decision overload is a thing. When we've got too many options or too many decisions to make, we can feel overwhelmed and we can struggle to make a choice. And as I mentioned earlier, this can lead to decision fatigue, and it can result in us delaying or avoiding things altogether. And this happened to me probably near the start of this year. I've got into a real sense of overwhelm, and I actually just wrote down all the things I was putting off, all of the things I was procrastinating over, because I just got to this point where I had so many decisions to make and too many options ahead of me, I didn't know which way to go. And it wasn't until I wrote it all out that I started to get some clarity and see the forest for the tree, so to speak, and help myself to group things together as individual projects and then start to break them down and tackle them one at a time. So it happens to all of us. We can get overloaded with the amount of decisions sometimes that we need to make. So I thought I'd talk about that, because making decisions, especially significant ones, can be challenging due to all sorts of factors. And it's not just from decision overload, although I feel that is a really significant one that lots of people do face. If we are feeling as a difficulty, if we're finding it difficult to make decisions or choices, then some of these things might be happening for you. You might be overloaded. You might just have too many decisions to make, or too many options that you could take to resolve something. You could have uncertainty as well. So there's that side of fear that comes with it, fear of making the wrong choice, or a fear when you're not really sure of the outcome that you're seeking or how it's going to play out. And that can lead to hesitation. We've all heard of analysis paralysis. So that's sometimes where we're thinking way too much, where we've become so focused on one of those other principles, like of gathering and analyzing information, that we actually struggle to come to any sort of conclusion. And then that can lead to inaction or delay as well. So analysis paralysis is something that we can learn from as well. Fear of regret comes into that banner of fear, so uncertainty or fear of regret. There's a great book, actually, The Regrets of the Dying, The Five Regrets of the Dying, which I think gives a lot of insight into the types of things that we commonly do worry about as human beings and things that we might regret later. And I think out of that book, actually, it's a really good one for helping you clarify what your values might actually be. And when you've got those values there as that gut check to sort of go, yeah, these things are really important to me, and this will help me achieve this thing that I really value, then that can be really, really helpful. So we don't want to get paralyzed because we're fearful of something that we might regret later on. And that sort of fear can prevent us from making decisions that might involve some sort of risk or stepping out of our comfort zone. So, yeah, we don't want to regret anything. We want to play all of our cards while we've got them to play. And that sort of touches on to that conflict of values that I just spoke of. So when decisions conflict with our personal values, we can experience an internal kind of turmoil as well. So deciding between options that align with different values can be very emotionally challenging. Yeah, something to think about and learn from and adapt through that insight of yourself. Lack of confidence, we want to learn from and adapt to a lack of confidence as well. So when we feel a lack of confidence, all that's saying is that, because confidence is a byproduct of action, so if you want confidence, if you want to feel confident, then you need to be taking action. And sometimes we don't know which action to take. So when we stall and when we're facing difficulties, making a choice and committing and taking some kind of action, we will feel that as a lack of confidence. So if you're feeling a lack of confidence, perhaps it's because you're not taking enough action in your decision-making process. So the action might be just think about a decision-making technique and you're going to do the first step of that technique, whatever it is. And that can help you to just take a really simple action and start to generate a feeling of confidence in yourself. Something else we can learn and adapt from is our emotional attachments. So we've talked about emotional regulation last episode, and I talk about emotional intelligence. We can also have emotional attachments, and we have attachment. Attachment theory is a thing that affects all of us. We are attached to all kinds of things, and we can have secure attachment, and we can have anxious and avoidant attachments, but we're looking for secure attachment. And emotions come to play in that same sort of way, because they can, emotions, if we are dysregulated, if the emotions are dysregulated, they can cloud our judgment and we might not be able to really look at things objectively or evaluate a choice if we're not emotionally in a good place. So watch for those emotional attachments or emotional bias getting in the way, and we want to learn from and adapt to the situation using the information from our emotions. Another tricky one that we can experience when we're trying to make a decision is social pressure. So external influences, other people's opinions, societal expectations, all of these things can combine to make decision making really difficult as well. So the desire to conform and belong and fit in and meet others' expectations is a really powerful one, and it's a biological driver for us to care and nurture for one another. So it's a really quite a significant one, and we want to make choices that are aligned with our own personal preferences, but sometimes they don't conform or meet expectations of others. So something really important there to consider is, and that sort of touches on that personal skill of being able to communicate really effectively, having that sort of structure of communicating that's around I statements and sharing what's happened and how you feel about that and what you would like, and practicing assertive communication, really important to take off some of that social pressure. So learning and adapting in that way is perhaps learning that new skill set of communicating assertively, for example, so that you aren't being overly influenced by external influences. Important one. Another challenge people can have when they're facing a decision is the perfectionism. So a desire for perfection, striving for a perfect decision, the right decision, and people can be paralyzed from perfectionism, and it can make them delay in making choices, and they're really just, I guess, in pursuit of something that can be sometimes unattainable. I think one of my mentors once said to me that perfection is the lowest standard imaginable. And I was really curious. I sort of like, please explain this to me. And she said, well, something that is perfect is whole and complete, and you can't add anything to it. And so at that point, you cease to learn and you cease to adapt and have to grow. So it's a really low standard, she said. And I really like that, because it challenged this idea of perfectionism. So if you've got that going off in you, something to think about. there and perhaps challenge your own construct there around, is perfection really what you want at the end of the day? Perhaps learning and adapting is more suitable for you in the end. So that's another difficulty that people can have when they're making decisions. Another one, which is, I'm feeling this one in regard to my car, the sunk cost fallacy. I've decided I was going to keep this car and invest a lot of time and effort and money into this car, and I'm not sure that it is the best option in the long run. So, but I just feel like I've put so much time and effort and money into it. Maybe I should just keep pursuing this path. So that's something for me to contemplate as I make decisions about my car in this short term. And that's the next one, short term and long term. This is another good gut check. So decisions that involve trade-offs between short-term gratification or a long-term benefit can be really challenging. So sometimes people prioritize immediate reward over a long-term gain. So that can be another good check-in and something that can help us to learn and adapt to the situation that we find ourselves in. We want to just contemplate, is this going to help me in the short term, or is this in line with what I want long term? And that can nudge us in one direction or the other. So yeah, we've got lots of difficulties that we can come up with. We've got group dynamics, which is kind of relating to social pressure. And the same as our emotional biases, we've got cognitive biases. So we've got ways of thinking, and sometimes things like confirmation bias, where we seek information that just confirms what we already knew. So we're not actually learning anything new at that point. We're just kind of rehashing what we already know. And that can distort the decision-making process as well. Lack of prioritization, we've already talked about that, and you can use the Eisenhower matrix to help you prioritize things better. Gives you much more clarity, removes the confusion around making any decisions, helps you to see, you know, which ones really are the most important and the most urgent. And then there's also the hesitation of letting go. So letting go of certain options or paths, even if they're no longer viable or beneficial, or you even want them anymore, you've just had them on your list because it's a should, I really should make a decision about that. Yeah, they can be really emotionally challenging as well. So to address all these sorts of difficulties, we need to develop a good decision-making skill set, and we need to practice all of those self-awareness skills and seek that guidance and embrace that the idea that no decision is entirely risk-free ever, and there's always a winner and a loser. So learning from both the successful and the less successful decisions that we make can help us refine the decision-making process over time. So that's really what I wanted to leave you with on this idea of learning and adapting. I think we learn and adapt so much when we take on a decision-making process and a creative problem-solving process with great intention. We can really learn, and we can find ourselves so flexible and adaptable that we can even amaze ourselves. So that's really wonderful outcome that you can find. But in honor of this kind of idea of adapting and learning, I'm going to play this song by Alanis Morissette, which is You Learn. Enjoy this one. Thanks for joining me in talking about decision making, and life's journey is paved with both successes and setbacks. So the key is to view each experience as a lesson and try to learn these skills that I'm talking about can really help you in seeing it as a lesson, because you can reflect on your experience, the way that you've attempted to solve the problem or address the decision or make the to make the choice, and you will see that you will have triumphs and challenges, and you'll start to work out and discern what's working and what's not working. And as you go through this a few times, this type of reflection, when you do it quite intentionally and purposefully, can sharpen your problem-solving skills and prepare you when you need it in the future. So remember, the journey of informed decision making isn't a solitary one. It's a dance between your wisdom, the wisdom of others, and a symphony of your past experiences that shape your future choices. We do need other people to help venture into these waters sometimes and into the heart of a problem solving and decision making. We're not just building skills, we're crafting a resilient mindset that embraces challenges as opportunities for growth, and also embracing one another in the strategy and the adventure of this. So I'm going to talk about a few stories after. We're going to go and play a few songs now and head into the news. I'm going to play some songs around resilience and learning and coming out the other side and what you have actually learnt as a lesson through making choices of your own and decisions that you've made of your own. What did you learn from the experience? So I'm going to play some songs that kind of help to reflect on what you've been through so far. Like, we've all had our ups and downs, we've all gone through things, and how we reframe the past is actually really, really important. So this idea of reflecting and seeing, well, you've got through to now, you've got through to today, you're listening to me today, I know you've probably been through some challenging times of your own. So we're doing this together. Let's play some songs that reflect on our strengths. And this one I really like. This is Destiny's Child Survivor. The lyrics of this one are particularly good. If you can look up the lyrics, I think you'll like them. But here we go, Destiny's Child Survivor. It's 4 minutes to 12, and coming up after the midday news, I'm going to shift gears. I'm going to move into creative problem solving. We're going to start to dive into the world of your imagination and where that meets with resilience and where those challenges become a canvas actually for innovation and creativity. So looking forward to getting stuck into that after the news. But before that, I'm going to play another song on the same vein as the last one there, Survivor. This one's called The Comeback. Back, and it's by Danny Gokey. So enjoy this one. I really enjoy the lyrics of this one as well.